A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been doing a lot of electronics work lately. Repairs, engraving, that sort of thing. And he's running into the classic apartment dweller problem. He's got a small home office, but the desk is strictly for computer work. So when he needs to solder something or tinker with a board, he ends up wherever there's free space at the moment. He's wondering about solutions for renters who can't dedicate a whole table to precision work. He's curious about wall-mounted rising desks, specialized workbench furniture, and then he asks the bigger question. If you do have the space and budget for a proper fixed workbench, what are people actually buying? Because he's noticed in industrial supplier catalogs that pros aren't just buying a table with legs. They're buying modular integrated systems with wraparound storage. He remembers seeing something like that at an IoT company he worked at, and wants to know what those systems are and who sells them.
There's a lot here, and the first thing I want to do is separate it into two distinct problems, because mixing them is where most people get stuck. Problem one is the spatial constraint. Small apartment, renting, can't drill into walls maybe, can't dedicate floor space. Problem two is the workflow constraint. What makes a workbench and not just a table? And those two problems pull in opposite directions. Space-saving solutions tend to sacrifice the very things that make a bench functional.
You're saying the wall-mounted fold-down desk Daniel's imagining might solve the square footage problem while creating three new ones he hasn't met yet.
Let me walk through what a bench actually needs. You need static dissipation, an ESD-safe surface, or at minimum, a conductive path to ground. You need vertical clearance above the work surface for a magnifying lamp or a microscope. You need the bench to not move. Rigidity matters enormously when you're applying force with a soldering iron or pressing a connector into a board. You need edge accessibility from at least three sides. And critically, you need tool proximity, your most used instruments within arm's reach without looking away from the work.
The fold-down desk gives you exactly none of those except maybe the flat surface part.
Worse than that, it gives you a surface that wobbles on its hinge mechanism, usually can't be grounded, has whatever finish the manufacturer put on it, and sits at whatever height the wall studs dictated. You can't choose the height, you can't add a proper mat without it sliding off when you fold it up, and you certainly can't leave a half-disassembled device on it overnight.
You're saying the wall-mounted solution is the furniture equivalent of a headlamp. It lets you work anywhere, but it doesn't give you a bench.
The headlamp and ESD mat approach Daniel's using now is actually more functional than a bad fold-down desk would be because at least it's honest about what it is. A portable setup you deploy on the kitchen table has fewer failure modes than a permanently wrong installation.
All right, so let's talk about what does work in a small rental. You've got maybe 60 square meters total, which means the bench has to either share a room with something else or live in a corner and not dominate.
There's a product category that's emerged in the last few years specifically for this, and it's not fold-down desks. It's mobile workstations, essentially a compact bench on locking casters. The best one I've seen for electronics specifically is the Modula Modular System. It's a Canadian company. Their benches come in widths as narrow as 48 inches, and they're height adjustable. But the key feature is that they're designed to accept modular storage, bins, drawers, tool holders, that mount on vertical slotted rails at the back of the bench. Everything is within the footprint of the bench itself.
You roll it out when you're working? Roll it against the wall when you're not?
Because it's on casters, you can position it for access from multiple sides depending on what you're doing. Soldering might want a different orientation than inspection. The casters lock, so it's rigid when you need it to be. And the vertical rail system means your tools and components live on the bench, not in a separate cabinet across the room. That's a huge workflow win.
What's the price range on something like that?
The Modulum stuff starts around $600 to $800 for the base bench, and the storage accessories add up. But that's the entry point for something purpose-built. Below that, you're in IKEA hack territory, which isn't necessarily bad, it's just a different project.
Let's talk about the IKEA hack then, because Daniel mentioned buying a table with legs, and I think a lot of people start there. What's the right way to do it wrong?
The classic approach is a solid core door on top of something, or two IKEA Alex drawer units with a countertop spanning between them. That's been the standard budget workbench for years. But there are real problems with it for electronics. The Alex drawers are 27.5 inches tall, which means your work surface sits around 29 inches with a typical countertop. That's desk height. A proper electronics bench should be higher. 34 to 38 inches is typical, because you're often working standing or on a tall stool, and you need the work closer to eye level for fine detail.
If you're soldering at desk height, you're hunched over, which after an hour is just spinal punishment.
The other issue is that an IKEA countertop isn't ESD safe. You can put a mat on it, but the mat needs a ground connection, and now you've got a wire running to your outlet or your radiator. It works, it's just not elegant. And the countertop surface itself, laminate over particle board, is fine until you accidentally touch it with a hot soldering iron, at which point you've got a permanent scar.
The IKEA route gives you storage, but at the wrong height, with the wrong surface, and one mistake away from cosmetic damage your landlord might notice.
The height can be fixed by using taller legs or a different base cabinet. The surface can be fixed by replacing the top with a proper ESD laminate sheet from a supplier like DigiKey or Mauser. They sell benchtop material by the foot. And the damage issue is just a matter of discipline and maybe a silicone soldering mat on top of the ESD mat. So you can get there, but by the time you've done all that, you've spent $200 and a weekend building what amounts to a compromise.
Which brings us to the second half of Daniel's question, the professional integrated systems. What is he remembering from that IoT company's hardware shop?
He's almost certainly remembering one of the big three industrial workbench manufacturers. The dominant player globally is Lista, which is now part of Stanley Black & Decker. Their workbenches are the standard in aerospace, defense, electronics manufacturing, anywhere precision assembly happens. The second is Vidmar, which is actually a Stanley brand as well now, though they maintain separate product lines. And the third, which is more specialized for electronics, is a company called Production Basics.
What makes these different from a table with legs?
Let me start with the frame. These are welded steel frames, typically 12-gauge, with leveling feet that can compensate for uneven floors, which matters when you're doing anything that requires a level surface, like using a microscope or a precision vise. The frames are designed to accept modular components, drawer cabinets, shelf units, bin rails, monitor arms, task lighting, power strips. Everything bolts to the frame or slots into a standardized rail system.
It's less a piece of furniture and more a platform.
That's exactly the right word. The bench is a platform, and you configure it. The work surface itself is replaceable. If you damage it, you unbolt it and bolt on a new one. The standard surface options are ESD laminate, butcher block, stainless steel, or chemical-resistant phenolic resin. For electronics, ESD laminate is the default choice. It's a high-pressure laminate with a conductive layer that dissipates static through a grounding point. This is where it gets interesting, because the storage isn't just drawers bolted underneath. Lista and Vidmar use a modular drawer system where each drawer is rated for a specific weight capacity, anywhere from 100 to 440 pounds per drawer, and the drawer interiors are infinitely configurable with dividers. You can get drawers as shallow as 1.25 inches for small components, or deep enough for test equipment. The drawers have full extension slides rated for hundreds of thousands of cycles. And critically, the drawer cabinets are the same height as the bench frame, so they can be positioned underneath, beside, or as standalone units that match the bench height.
You can have a U-shaped configuration where the bench is in front of you, and the storage wraps around on both sides at the same height.
And because everything is modular and standardized, you can reconfigure it. If your workflow changes, you can move the drawer cabinet from the left side to the right, swap out shallow drawers for deep ones, add an overhead shelf, mount a monitor arm, it's all the same system.
What does this cost? Because I'm hearing aerospace and defense, and thinking this isn't a hobbyist budget.
A basic Lista or Vidmar bench, 60 inches wide, ESD top, one drawer cabinet, starts around $2,000 to $3,000. A fully configured U-shaped workstation with overhead storage, task lighting, and multiple drawer cabinets can run $8,000 to $12,000. But here's the thing, these benches last decades. it's not unusual to find list of benches from the 1980s still in service. The secondary market is robust. Companies liquidate them when they move or upgrade, and you can pick up used units for 30 to 50 cents on the dollar.
The budget-conscious move is to buy a used industrial bench rather than build something new from consumer parts.
If you have the space for it, absolutely. A used Lista bench will outlast anything you can build from IKEA parts, and the modularity means you can add to it over time as budget allows. The challenge is transportation. These things are heavy. A 60-inch bench with a steel frame and a solid top can weigh 200 pounds or more.
Daniel's in an apartment. He's not hauling a 200-pound steel bench up a stairwell.
Which brings us back to the mobile workstation category, or possibly a different approach entirely. There's a company called Formaspace that makes modular workbenches with aluminum frames instead of steel. They're lighter, still modular, still ESD safe, and they can be disassembled for transport. They're not cheap, expect to start around $1,500, but they're apartment-friendly in a way that industrial steel isn't.
There's a middle ground between the IKEA hack and the industrial systems. I've seen companies like Yulin selling workbenches that are basically steel frames with a wood or laminate top, no modular storage system, but solid and height adjustable.
Yulin's adjustable height workbench is actually a decent entry point. It's a hand crank adjustable steel frame. You can set the height anywhere from about 28 to 42 inches and a maple butcher block top. It's around $400 to $600 depending on size. No ESD option, but you can add your own mat. No modular storage, but the frame has a lower shelf. It's not an integrated system, but it solves the height problem and the rigidity problem at a reasonable price.
It's something you can disassemble and move.
Two bolts and the top comes off, the legs fold, you can carry it upstairs.
Let's talk about the ESD question more carefully. Because Daniel mentioned he's already using an ESD mat, and I think a lot of hobbyists treat that as a solved problem without understanding what's actually happening electrically.
This is important. An ESD mat isn't just a protective surface, it's part of a grounding system. The mat has a conductive layer, usually carbon-impregnated rubber or vinyl, with a surface resistivity between 10 to the 6th and 10 to the 9th ohms. That's the sweet spot, conductive enough to dissipate static, resistive enough to prevent a dangerous discharge if you touch a live circuit. The mat connects to a ground point through a snap and a cord with a 1 megohm resistor built in. That resistor is safety critical. It limits current if you accidentally contact a voltage source.
The mat without the ground cord is just a fancy placemat.
It'll still protect the device from direct static discharge from your hand, because you're touching the mat before you touch the device. But it won't drain accumulated charge from the device itself or from tools sitting on the mat. And that's where the bench surface matters. If you're using an ESD mat on top of a laminate desk, the mat is doing all the work. If you're using an ESD laminate bench, the entire surface is part of the system.
The bench itself needs to be grounded.
Through the same kind of grounding point. Most industrial ESD benches have a grounding stud built into the frame. You connect a grounding cord from that stud to a verified earth ground, usually the center screw of a wall outlet, but you need to test it first. Not every outlet is properly grounded, especially in older apartments.
Which is a whole separate episode about electrical safety in rental units.
Briefly, test your outlets. A basic outlet tester costs $10 and will tell you if your ground is actually connected. If it's not, you need a different grounding strategy, and that's a conversation with an electrician, not a workbench discussion.
Let's go back to the storage question, because I think that's what Daniel's really circling. He mentioned wraparound, quick access storage, and I know exactly the feeling he's describing. When you're in the middle of a repair and you need a specific screwdriver or a specific value resistor, and the 30 seconds it takes to find it breaks your concentration.
The term for what he's describing is point of use storage. The principle is that the tools and components you use most frequently should be accessible without moving your feet. The classic implementation is a vertical panel behind the bench, sometimes called a tool board or a shadow board, with tools hung in a fixed position. Each tool has a silhouette or outline so you can see at a glance what's missing.
That's the visual management approach. You don't have to remember where the flush cutters go because the outline tells you.
It enforces discipline. If the flush cutters aren't in their spot, you know immediately and you don't close up the bench until they're back. The industrial systems take this further with what's called a louvered panel, a metal panel with horizontal slots that accept various hooks, bins, and holders. Lista's version is called the Align System. Vidmar calls theirs the FlexWorks. They're essentially the same concept, a grid of slots that lets you position storage components anywhere.
For a home setup, the budget version of this is a sheet of pegboard mounted to the wall behind the bench, or to the back rail of a mobile workstation.
Pegboard is underrated. It's cheap, it's infinitely reconfigurable, and the ecosystem of hooks and holders is enormous. The downside is that it's not ESD safe. The pegs are usually metal, and the board itself is non-conductive. But for tool storage that's separate from the work surface, it's fine.
What about component storage? The small parts problem. Resistors, capacitors, connectors, screws.
That's where the modular drawer systems really shine. In a professional electronics lab, you'll typically see a combination of Lista-style shallow drawers for bulk storage and what are called bin rails or louvered bins for the components you're actively using in a project. The bins are small plastic containers that hang on a rail, open at the front, so you can reach in and grab a part without opening a drawer.
The company I've seen everywhere for this is called Sortimo, but I think they're more automotive.
Sortimo is huge in mobile service. They make the van racking systems for tradespeople, but they've moved into workstation storage as well. For electronics specifically, the dominant brands for small part storage are Rayako, which is a Danish company, and Akro-Mills, which is American. Rayako's HandyBox system is basically the industry standard for component storage in Europe. The boxes are modular, stackable, and the dividers are configurable. Akro-Mills has their own modular bin system that's widely used in North America.
These integrate with the bench systems.
That depends on the bench. The industrial systems have their own bin rails and holders. For a home setup, you're typically buying the storage separately and placing it on a shelf above or beside the bench. The key is to keep it within the arm's reach zone, which ergonomists call the golden zone, roughly from shoulder height to hip height within a forearm's length of your seated position.
If I'm configuring a bench, I want the work surface in front of me, the most used tools on a panel directly behind the work surface, and the most used components in bins or shallow drawers immediately to the left or right.
Less used items go in drawers below the bench or on shelves above. The hierarchy is touch frequency determines proximity.
Daniel mentioned he's been looking at industrial suppliers. Who should he actually be browsing?
For new equipment in the U, the major distributors are Global Industrial, Uline, and Grainger. All three carry workbenches across the range from budget to industrial. For electronics, specific stuff, Techni Tool and Jensen Tools are the specialists. They carry ESD benches, grounding equipment, and the modular storage systems designed for electronics labs. In Europe, Farnell and RS Components are the big distributors, and they carry brands like Rocco and Bott, which is a German modular workbench manufacturer that's comparable to Lista.
Bott, that's the one I've seen in photos of European workshops with the perforated metal panels.
Bott's system is called Perfo. It's a perforated steel panel system that's used for both tool storage and as a structural element. Their workbenches integrate the Perfo panels as the back and side walls, so the entire bench is a storage system. It's very popular in automotive and industrial maintenance, but it works for electronics too if you spec the ESD version.
For someone who wants to buy once and be done, the used Lista or Vidmar route is probably the best value proposition.
If you have the space and the ability to transport it, yes. I'd add one caveat. Check the drawer configuration carefully before buying used. A bench that was used in a machine shop might have all deep drawers for heavy tooling, which is useless for electronics components. You want a mix, mostly shallow drawers, one or two medium depth for test equipment and larger tools.
What about lighting? Daniel mentioned his headlamp, which is a portable solution, but if you're building a dedicated bench, integrated lighting changes the experience dramatically.
Task lighting on a bench should be adjustable in position and intensity, and it should be positioned to avoid casting shadows on the work. The classic solution is an articulated magnifying lamp, the kind with a circular fluorescent or LED ring around a magnifying lens. The lens is useful for inspection, but honestly, the lighting is the more important feature. A good LED ring light with adjustable color temperature, you want the ability to switch between warm and cool because different solder joints and board colors show up better under different temperatures.
Mounting it to the bench rather than having it on a separate stand saves surface space.
Most industrial benches have a slot or rail at the back specifically for mounting lamps and monitor arms. If you're building your own, a clamp-on mount that attaches to the edge of the bench works fine. The key is to get the lamp positioned so the light comes from over your shoulder or slightly to the side, never directly in front, where it'll reflect off the work into your eyes.
Let's pull this together into something actionable. Daniel's in a small apartment, renting, doing electronics work. He wants a dedicated space. What's the tiered recommendation?
Tier 1, the minimum viable setup that's a real upgrade from working on the kitchen table, is a mobile workstation on casters. Something like a Modulum or a Formaspace compact bench, or even a U-line adjustable height table with a good ESD mat and a clamp-on magnifying lamp. You're spending $400 to $800, you're getting proper height adjustability, a rigid surface, and the ability to roll it out of the way. Add a pegboard panel on the wall behind where you park it, and you've got tool storage. Tier 2 is a dedicated fixed bench, probably 60 inches wide, either a used industrial unit or a new mid-range option. You're looking at $1,500 to $3,000. This gets you ESD laminate, integrated drawer storage, a proper grounding system, and a louvered panel for tools. This is the setup where you stop compromising and start having a real lab.
Tier 3 is the 4 U-shaped integrated workstation with overhead cabinets, task lighting, multiple drawer units, and a dedicated test equipment shelf. That's the $10,000 aerospace lab at home setup.
Which is probably not happening in a 60 square meter apartment, but it's worth knowing what the ceiling looks like.
One thing we haven't touched on is the chair. If you're working at a 36-inch bench height, a standard office chair is too low.
You need a drafting chair or an industrial stool. The key features are a foot ring, because your feet won't reach the floor, an adjustable height that goes high enough. The range you want is roughly 24 to 32 inches of seat height. Brands like Viper and Ergolux make decent drafting chairs for $200 to $300. The industrial option is something like a BioFit or a Bevco, which are built for clean room and ESD environments and run $600 to $1,000.
The ESD version of a chair has a conductive upholstery and a drag chain that maintains ground contact.
For hobbyist electronics, a standard drafting chair with an ESD mat on the bench and a wrist strap is sufficient. The ESD chair is overkill unless you're working with particularly sensitive components.
Daniel's headlamp and ESD mat approach is actually a smart starting point. He's solving the two most critical problems first, which are light and static protection. The bench is the third problem, and it's the one that ties everything together.
The bench doesn't have to be expensive to be functional. The most important attributes are rigidity, correct height, and proximity to storage. Everything else is optimization.
The vertical integration of storage is the insight I think Daniel was circling without quite naming it. He noticed that the industrial setups felt different from a table with some drawers next to it, and the difference is that the storage is part of the bench architecture, not furniture placed near the bench.
When the storage is integrated, you don't have to think about where things go. The system imposes a logic. Your oscilloscope lives on the upper shelf at eye level. Your soldering iron holder is mounted to the right side rail. Your most used components are in the top shallow drawer, subdivided by value. It's not just convenient, it changes how you work, because the friction of starting a task drops to nearly zero.
The cost of a touch, as we've discussed before in a different context. Every second of retrieval friction is a reason not to start the project.
The bench that eliminates that friction pays for itself not in money, but in projects actually completed.
Alright, so to answer Daniel's questions directly, yes, there are wall-mounted solutions, but they're generally worse than a mobile cart for electronics work. Yes, there is specialized workbench furniture, and it ranges from $400 adjustable tables to $12,000 integrated workstations. The professional systems he's remembering are almost certainly Lister, Widmar, or Bott, modular steel platforms with integrated storage, sold through industrial distributors like Global Industrial and Grainger, and for his situation specifically, a mobile adjustable height bench with an ESD mat and a clamp-on light is probably the sweet spot.
If he wants to go deeper, the search terms are ESD workbench, modular industrial workstation, and point-of-use storage. Those three phrases will open up the entire catalog.
One last thought. There's a whole community of electronics hobbyists who document their bench builds in exhaustive detail on YouTube and forums. The EEV Blog forum in particular has a long-running thread called Show Us Your Workbench that's been active for over a decade. It's worth browsing just to see what real setups look like after years of iteration.
That thread is a goldmine. You see everything from kitchen table setups to full professional labs, and the common thread is always the same. The bench evolves to match the work. The people with the most functional benches aren't the ones who spent the most money. They're the ones who paid attention to their own workflow and built around it.
Which is the real answer, isn't it? The best bench is the one that disappears. You don't notice it because you're busy using it.
Build me a bench nobody notices they're working at.
There's the episode title.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The word Moffett, a fissure emitting carbon dioxide in volcanic regions, comes from the Italian Moffetta, which itself derives from the Latin Mephitis, meaning a noxious exhalation. The Seychelles have no active volcanism, so you will not find a Moffett there. The goddess Mephitis, who gave her name to the word, was worshipped in central Italy specifically to ward off the malarial vapors believed to rise from swamps, which, unlike volcanic gas, the Seychelles did historically contend with.
I'm not sure what to do with the fact that there's a goddess of swamp gas.
She'd have been useful in Connecticut summers.
This has been My Weird Prompts, thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you listen. It genuinely helps other people find the show. We're back next week.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.